This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Oh my God, that is one of the
coach of the Dallas
hard.
Stars almost croaked on her.
On TSN 1050, making your drive home a lot more fun.
It is a game night tonight for the Raptors. Game 5 down at the ACC. Tip-off at 6 p.m. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. That means we're out of here an hour early today. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan around the table.
We better knuckle down then. Is that what you're saying? A two-hour show. This is a walk in the park. This is old Leaf lunch hours.
This is old school for us.
I like that. Maybe we won't have to go baby monkey halfway through it.
Where's your headspace at for your raps tonight?
Ooh.
I honestly have no idea.
Really? You're that rattled?
No. You look at the series. They've had two very good games and two jokes. Like two games where they've been absolutely horrendous and two games where they absolutely dominated from start to finish. So try to predict which team you're going to see tonight. It's impossible to know.
Well, if you look around at the other series, isn't the higher seeds kind of like, okay, see, we'll just getting ready here to move on. But these guys, it's a circus.
They make everything difficult. Like the two seed over in the West was San Antonio. They cruised through their series.
Really? Cakewalk?
They swept them. I mean, it was like it was almost as if they didn't even have to show up and play.
Threw their jerseys out there.
Yeah, like we'll play a half and you guys try to catch up in the second half. We'll put the janitor out there on the court.
Teen Wolf.
Yeah, and the Raptors have to make it difficult, of course. And it won't be easy tonight. Paul George, he'll be in the building. The Pacers, I'm sure they're going to feel fairly confident considering the way they played in Game 4, but we'll see. And now, we'll tee it up over the next 2 hours.
Paul George is a superstar?
Superstar. Great player. And great defensive player. I mean, he's owning DeMar DeRozan.
So DeRozan and Lowry, how the coach explained to Jack Armstrong, they're good players. They're great players, but they're not superstars.
Very good players, not great players. That's what the Raptors have. And they got a very deep team. And Jonas Valanciunas was a stud through the first three games. He was neutralized in Game 4. We'll see if he can break through that tonight. You mentioned Jack Armstrong. He'll join us around 5:30, so a half an hour before tip-off. Jack will join us live from the ACC to tee up the game. Ray Ferraro coming up in about an hour. Lots of things to get into today. I want to kick off the afternoon giving a shout-out to my spirit animal at Costco this afternoon. We went to Costco. And there was this guy who thought he had everyone fooled. The free sample table.
Oh, circle back?
I watched him circle back three or four times, and he thought.
He has a right to.
He does have a right to.
Those people annoy the hell out of me.
No, I am that guy.
But he tried to pretend like he was actually going to a different section to look for something.
And then come back. What do you have here?
Oh, you're still here. Okay, I guess I could try. And the woman behind.
Did she call him out?
Like a statue, though. She just looked at him like, dude, just why are you even putting forth this charade? Get up there, mouth through as many as you want, but and leave me alone.
Here's the thing. Eat as much as you want, but buy the damn sample. Like, buy one. If they're frozen pizzas and they're chopping them up, go and buy one. You know, you walk by and they've got, like protein bars cut up. Go and buy a box.
No.
So you're just one of those guys that goes to Costco to eat for free.
Dude, I'm like a baby cow in there. I just graze and graze in a circular motion, and I keep going and going until I'm done. And I don't want a hairy eyeball when I come back. You just put it in the little thing and let me do my business.
I don't know how many times I have to use my catchphrase, let's go, to people there, because it's the driving of the carts, and let's just go anywhere I want, and I'm just going to roll. Oh, I'm just going to stop here and grab a sample right in the middle of the aisle.
You go there 12:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday. It is hell on earth.
Almost a fist fight.
Hell on earth. But you can't find a good time to go to Costco. It is always busy. I don't get it, and I guess I'm part of the problem too, because we went there this morning. We were probably there around 10:30, 11 a.m., jam-packed house.
Oh, yeah.
But there are certain unwritten rules that establishments have that they do not promote. One is you can have unlimited samples at Costco. I know that for a fact. You can sit there and mow down on a whole box of whatever they're serving up, and they will not blink an eye. Another one is free refills of pop at McDonald's. You can walk up with your cup and say, can I have more? And they're going to give it to you every single time.
I swear on my life.
And I know that for a fact.
I swear on my life. And I this is embarrassing. But I have a buddy back home. I went to a movie with him one time. And out of his pocket, he unfolded a large popcorn bag that he had saved from another time. And it's the free at that point, it was free refills. So this dusty old dirty bag, and he like hands it to free refill. And the person refilled it. I said, I'm embarrassed to be standing next to you. The guy had saved his popcorn bag and brought it back another time.
I say veteran move. There was a picture up on Instagram
KG,
I saw over
we'll
the weekend.
Call it.
Some guy, I guess he was at a KFC, and they don't have refills there. And what he did was he bought a bucket of chicken and unloaded the chicken and used the bucket to fill it up with pop.
Come on.
To fill it up with Coke or something like that. He's sitting there at the fountain,
yeah,
loading up with a bucket of Coke or Diet Coke or whatever it was. So those kind of guys, those are my spirit animals. Those are the guys that I connect with, and I'm like, I feel you, man. I know where you're at, and I support you. You know who... There are two guys in New York right now that do not see eye to eye on anything. And this is the big story in the National Hockey League right now. We'll get to Game 7 last night and Game 6 as well, and we'll tee up the wraps. The Jays with a meltdown last night. Marcus Stroman showing his emotion in the dugout, and a lot of people are talking about that today. But Dan Boyle, who's been in the league for, what, 20 years? He's been around for a long
career.
Time.
And respected guy.
Respected guy. He's had a really good career, but he's had a difficult ending to his career, right? He's had a tough year in New York. It was a healthy scratch in Game 5. And Larry Brooks is a guy who's been writing for the New York Post for a long time.
Tort's favorite.
And John Tortorella hates his guts, and he's gone back and forth with him before. And we're going to play some Tortorella and Brooks audio here in a moment. But Dan Boyle had a bit of a meltdown before his end-of-season press conference or media scrum down at MSG today. So the audio just came in. We've been waiting for the audio. Should we hear the audio first, and then we'll break down exactly what happened? So this was earlier this afternoon down in New York, Dan Boyle getting set up at his stall for his end-of-season media scrum, and this is what went down.
At least I'm leaving here with the respect of my teammates. Instead of somebody like you that tries to bury somebody, that's all you do. Not a critique, but I'm just telling you, I don't want you here. I have no respect for you. I want you to get the f*** out.
I don't care.
Well, I can f***ing tell you to get the f*** out if I want to.
You can.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, guys.
I want him out, and the other f***ing clown, Brett, or whatever the f*** his name is. Where's he at?
We're done, guys. We're done.
Everyone else is fine.
No, we're done. We're done.
Everyone else is fine.
I don't know if you've asked me politely, I might.
Well, politely? Why would I be polite with you? Are you kidding me? No, just leave. I just don't. We don't need.
Grow up.
Grow up. I just want you to leave. That's all.
Well, I'll walk over here.
I just want you to leave. I don't want to see you.
We're putting through this. I'm not leaving.
Is it not my right?
All right, so that was Dan Boyle, courtesy of SNY, and he was going back and forth with Larry Brooks, and Brooks was the guy saying, I'm not leaving, you're being childish. And Dan Boyle, I mean, I wouldn't say that was a nuclear meltdown, but it was close. And afterwards, I guess Brooks did leave, whoever the Brett guy was.
Brett Weir.
Was it Brett Weir? Is that who it was?
I don't know.
All right, well, whoever
get
it is,
me Brett Weir.
He doesn't like him either.
Jerky boy.
And he said those two had to leave, and I guess they did. Then Boyle continued with his media scrum. But, man, did he go off on Larry Brooks. And Larry Brooks might be the most hated beat reporter in hockey because there are a lot of people that take runs at him.
He is. And you know, listen, I disagree with the way that Dan handled this. Because all he did is make Larry Brooks relevant. And if you ignore guys like that, they go on with their business. But why give Larry Brooks his 15 minutes?
Well, there's two elements to it. You can take the high road and be the professional guy and say, you know what? It's been disappointing for me personally. I've been disappointed in some of the things that you people wrote. I'm probably at the end of the road. And the other end of it is, some people have a belief on their way out, they're going to light a fire on the way out.
Light it
and that's
all
basically
on fire,
what
burn
he
it
did.
To,
He's
burn
just
it to
like,
the ground.
You know what? I'm tired of these idiots, and this is the way I'm going to approach it. I've had enough. I got a lot of pride, and my pride is hurt, and I'm going to tell these people how I feel. And that's the option he opted for.
This is clearly a guy that knows he's done in New York. And
probably
likely,
done, period.
Likely done for his career.
Probably 20 years.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
And he's had a hell of a career. Let's not forget that.
He has, but he's put a little bit of a sour note on it at the end. I mean, this isn't going to change his reputation necessarily. It's something people will get over and forget. But
well, he's going to have to understand that he's retiring now, or it seems like he would. He's going to be on every top 10 list that SportsCenter does with a meltdown.
That's right.
And he's going to have to look at that and say, that's my memory of exiting stage left from the NHL.
And he may or may not regret it, but he has the right to be pissed off. He has the right to not want to talk to a guy. I don't think he should be outlandish about it or a clown about it, quite frankly. I mean, it was a circus atmosphere down there, him sparking that up. He didn't have to go down that road. Making a scene and going postal doesn't get him anywhere. But I don't read Larry Brooks on a daily basis. I don't know what this guy's been saying, but clearly Dan Boyle feels like he was either unfair to him or downright vicious.
Oh, he's disrespectful. Right? Larry Brooks is a disrespectful writer. He writes some good stuff. I read his stuff. But the way that he's disrespectful to people, like that's the thing I think that bothers an athlete. Like I think, and that's why I disagree with the way
But Jamie, let me just ask you this. Is he telling the truth? Because sometimes, a lot of the times, the truth hurts.
You're right, but you know what? Like you can.
Like,
tell,
is he going overboard?
I think that's the thing. There's a line of respect that you should have between doing your job and what he's doing his job, and I think Brooks crosses that line. And
yeah, but if he was simply saying that Dan Boyle wasn't playing well,
oh, that's
and
fine.
He hasn't lived up to that, like that's basically the truth.
Well,
he's an older guy. He
that's
was
fair.
A healthy scratch, and the coach felt like they were better without him in the lineup. If he's simply writing that. And I sent an email. I've told you guys this numerous times. I retired, and Steve Simmons had to needle me all the time in his
Sunday notes.
In his Sunday notes, and I sent him an email, and it was basically that Dan Boyle, and he basically wrote back, and he said, "You're the one that played, man."
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what?
But you know what? That's the thing. I have the belief that. Everyone has a job to do in this game, whether you cover it, whether you play and all that. And I think respect should be shown. And the minute that respect isn't shown, I lose respect for either the person who writes about it or the person who reacts like that with the way that Dan Boyle reacted.
Well, a couple things on that. One, he's writing for a local paper, so there's only so far he can go with being disrespectful. He can take jabs and subtle jabs, but it's not like you're writing a blog or on Twitter where you can take shots at the guy's wife or his kids and get to the point where it's so over the top disrespectful that it's actually gross. Like, it's almost libelous, or it's almost to the point where you could sue the guy.
Or cross his line, yeah.
You know, if he's talking about his game and he's like, he was awful, and he uses some analogy, like he's a whatever, you know, I think Dan Boyle has to understand that that's what comes with the territory.
It does.
The problem is, it's not a two-way street when it comes to criticism. And I understand how athletes, every once in a while, are going to say, you know, I don't have a chance to take a run at you.
Right.
You know, like, your job is to talk about what I do. My job isn't to talk about what you do. I only go out there and play. And it's a one-way street in terms of criticism.
Yep.
And I understand why athletes, every once in a while, especially ones that have had a tough year and are going out in a way that they don't want to, are going to get aggravated by that and downright pissed off about it. I understand it, but this is the job. You know, that's what comes with being a National Hockey Leaguer is guys write about you, guys talk about you, and
I'm sure it's not easy.
Like, I get it's not easy, but I don't think it ever does anyone any good to have a complete meltdown.
That's
why
I said it doesn't help you. You're right. That's why I said I don't like how Dan Boyle handled that, because all he did is make Larry Brooks and his criticism, it gave him a platform. Now people are talking about it.
Yeah, and the thing is, in New York, too, Feschuk was talking about this.
There's your perfect
example. Such an idiot, right?
Your perfect example.
And
right
Dave said that. Dave said, I've been in the middle of these things. I mean, Phil called him an idiot, and that was a big story.
And I agree. Feschuk's his question was garbage that day.
That's fine.
That was my opinion, but it was garbage that day, and he put Kessel in a bad spot to answer it. I thought that was complete garbage.
Well, maybe. Maybe the way it was phrased,
exactly.
I'll grant you that. But it was the question that a lot of people were throwing around. Was Phil personally responsible for Carlisle losing his gig?
Well, what do you think an athlete's going to say when you go up to him and say, are you trying to get your coach fired?
Yeah.
Even if they actually go to bed at night and lie in bed thinking, I'm trying to get this guy fired, I hate him so much, they're not going to answer it, and they're going to lose their mind.
And at times, media guys are doing it to get a reaction, and that's what they're looking for. And I get it. I understand that, and it puts athletes in very difficult positions.
Right.
But the point Festchuk made today was the Rangers actually, in a weird way, probably like the attention this will get, because in New York, the Rangers are always fighting for attention. This is not like Canadian teams. We're right up here in Toronto. They're trying to push the media away. They're like, we're not letting anything out. We're not, you guys, please leave us alone. We want it to be quiet here, because people are still going to watch, listen, show up, buy tickets, be infatuated with the team. When you're in New York and you're a hockey team, the newspapers can easily say, you know what, we'll go talk about the Yankees.
Yeah.
We'll go write about the Knicks, because you guys, you're not even on the radar. So I almost found it humorous the way some people reacted to some of the headlines down there featuring Lundqvist, where the editors were taking shots.
Hanks for nothing.
Yeah, yeah, and Hanks for and nothing. People, including people in this company, there was an internal email going, wow, can you believe, at least he's on the front cover. Because I'm sure there were people in that sports section that were saying, why are we talking about the Rangers here?
Right.
The Yankees are playing, or the Mets are playing, or the NFL draft is right around the corner. So, you know, you got to remember that it may not be fun all the time. It may not be fair all the time.
Right.
But if you're an owner, you want the coverage. You need the coverage to be relevant in a marketplace. And Larry Brooks is a guy who does specifically write about the Rangers all the time.
Yeah.
So as much as some of the players hate him, and Tortorella clearly used to really hate him, I'm sure the owners behind closed doors are like, you know what, at least he's covering us.
Yeah.
At least he's out
there. But isn't it the saying that if you cover hockey in the U.S., you're not at the top of the totem pole?
Well, for some people. I mean, some people decide this is the niche I've carved out, and I own it, and I'm going to continue to own it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I would think.
Because who are the number one? Like, is it NFL?
Well, you want to get to
writers?
The NFL.
Right. The NFL is the number one. Would it be?
Well, yeah, of course it would be. And I'm sure for a lot of people, you get into the business and you try to move up as much as you can, because it's not only the profile that comes with it. That would be where the money would come too.
Right.
Right. If you're covering the NFL and you get to that kind of a level, then as a media person, you would probably be able to make that much more money and your profile would be that much bigger. But it's one of those stories where Larry Brooks, he's always in the middle of it, and he's not going to stop. And
no, and that's why I think Dan Boyle, I don't think he should have done that. I just personally that I
there's
I think
a part of you that likes it, though, because you don't like Larry Brooks.
I'm not a fan of Larry Brooks. I think he's a troll. I do.
He's a troll.
And I seriously.
Well, like somebody show me some quotes that were off. We're taking it to a next level where he was insulting the person or going too far.
Well, and that's what I would ask you guys. Like, if it's not insulting, did you ever get rattled when you felt like you were the whipping boy, though?
I had one.
Where it was constantly the guy was always going back to you.
I was telling Tyler off air, I had one interaction with a media member that I felt was unjustly going after me. Like, I just, and you know what? Say what you want. I have no problem. You don't like the way that I play? You can talk about it. But I just felt like this was like actually going out of your way to like make me a target. So I confronted him, and I just said, but I didn't confront him in that way. I asked for a meeting, and I said, I'd like to chat to you about something, because maybe I feel like there's either a disconnect or maybe there's something that, you know, I could do better or whatever. And like, I mean, we hashed it out, but like the guy started crying when I confronted him, literally crying.
That's a tough spot to be in. Because that's the thing about
bad.
The media. I mean, the media can yell and scream.
But I didn't
I'll
say
look myself in the mirror.
I didn't say anything disrespectful
you
to him.
You would try, too, if I ever confronted you.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Jeff. No, it wasn't. I wasn't mad. I actually just tried to, like, say. I said, listen, I feel like I got a target here. Is there is there something? And, I mean, the guy didn't like that I confronted him face to face. I said, I want to talk about this because, I mean, we work together. This is the one thing that makes me sad about sports today. I like the relationships that you used to have. You'd have beat writers that were around the team all the time. They had a job to do, and you understood that as an athlete, and you had a job to do as an athlete. But you have a bad game, no problem. You got to report that. That's your job. And my job is to play better. But, like, those personal relationships, I valued them. And to this day, I still have good relationships with people that have covered me or whatever. But now that there's more people and more coverage, I feel like that personal side has really fractured.
I know how Brian would handle the confrontation. You would, like, fake like you're sick and do the Lindy cough. I'd be like, Brian, why did you say that about me? Are you, well, you just continue to do that. I don't hear what you're saying, Lindy cough.
Lindy cough.
The Lindy cough would be my response if I was carving you.
Yeah, and then you would just scurry away.
I don't see
it,
buddy.
I'm too sick to talk to you.
I don't see it happening.
God, I love that cough.
It's one of the all-time great coughs. It's one of the all-time great moments in the history of the show.
That it, probably, I mean, the Sean Burke flush, we should probably rank at some point our top 10 moments on the show and tie it obviously with our former show, The Leafs Lunch. But I think Sean Burke flush is right up there. The Lindy Ruff cough.
Lieutenant Danning it.
The Lieutenant Dan, how that came about.
Well, maybe what we have to do is wait until next March, and when March Madness starts, we'll start up like an overdrive bracket. Favorite moments, drops, whole nine.
Wow.
That might be a one seed right there.
You think so?
Well, give it a listen.
Who was it?
How can that not be a one seed?
I love the last part.
Well, it's not be a one seed.
He's trying to fight through it. The best part about it is, who's a bigger pro, you or Lindy? Because you, that question you asked was about 2 minutes long to try and allow him to regain his composure.
Can you imagine if he brought that one to the doctor's office and the doc said, have you quit blowing darts? And he said, yes.
That would be a tough explanation, I would think. The doctor might give you the come on now routine.
We're going to have to get the lung brush out.
He might have to go Dan Boyle on you, call you a joke.
Lindy, I still feel like Lindy, we caught him off guard. Like he was on his deck with a gar.
Oh, he's gearing up for game 7, man, like everyone else.
He's sitting there, exactly, but enjoying it as a fan / coach because he, like he told to us. He's prepared for both teams because he's watched them and played against them so much.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you were lucky enough to be a fan and watching that game last night, you had yourself a time because
hockey.
It was quite an evening last night. We'll come back and look back on Game 7. Look back on the Jays blowing things up again. The bullpen is an unmitigated disaster right now. Marcus Stroman with a bit of a reaction.
Playing the role.
Playing the role in the dugout. Some people taking issue with that.
Somebody's
we'll talk about
beat
that as
guy
well.
Up.
Well, listen, man, he's a hell of an arm, but he shows his emotion, and it can go both ways. So we'll tell you about that, and we'll discuss it throughout the afternoon. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
I've got to remind you of one element of the playoffs, one of my golden rules. I just got a tweet from one of my followers. To win in the Stanley Cup Finals, you need entry-level guys to play like they're worth $4 or $5 million. And for St. Louis, I think Parayko and Robbie Fabry did that last. You got to have young guys step up and play like they're top-end talents. That's what you need. And St. Louis, they got it done last night.
Parayko scored that shot. Now, he can bring it. That slap shot was from exactly on the blue line.
Yeah. It was kind of a diver, though,
wasn't it?
Well,
it was rolling. But, like, Crawford got a chunk of it, but it was...
You can defend goalies all you want, but when a guy scores from just inside the blue line like that, I don't like it.
It wasn't
on the bench.
It wasn't inside. It was on the blue line.
Yeah,
that's how far out it was, but it was amazing. Like, I'm just giving Parayko love. Like, that was an Al MacInnis type of shot. That's how hard it was.
That kid came out of nowhere this year.
And you're right. That game was 8-2 if Corey Crawford didn't play last night. I thought St. Louis was the better team. They just were. They outplayed them. They They stuck with the. This is the best part about it is nobody's talking about how much Hitch played Tarasenko last night. He played 14 and a half minutes.
There was one power play where the game was on the line and Tarasenko did not touch the ice. I was losing my. I was losing it more than Tarasenko.
It's almost like he wanted to get fired, Hitchcock. Like he was hoping they'd lose somehow.
I think he just stuck with his game plan and was saying, you know what, I don't trust this guy defensively. We're going to roll four lines and I'm going to have guys like Steen out there to play two-way.
And I have to say this, I do not like the format of the playoffs right now. I don't like it.
I agree.
You got these heavy hitters out in the first round. It's like, wouldn't the anticipation for everybody involved, viewers, everything, a St. Louis, Chicago, like even the second round or whatever, but to have L.A., St. Louis, or
Chicago,
like, get serious, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing that people don't realize. If it was still going 1 versus 8, 2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5, do you know who would have played in the first round out West? Anaheim, L.A.
Yeah.
So someone was going out anyway in the first round.
L.A. would be 8?
No, they were 4 or 5. It was Dallas 1, I think St. Louis 2.
Nashville was 8.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
Nashville to start that won 8.
Right.
I don't know. I think because of travel and all that, I'd like to see 1-16.
I'd love to see that.
And 2-15, all of that, because to me, that like
would you go best of 5 in the first round under that scenario?
The old Smythe division.
Hmm. I might be willing to accept that.
A best of 5, but 1 versus 16 and down the line?
Yeah, I might be willing to accept that to get that done. Because I also like the idea of the cup final being totally unpredictable.
Right.
Two teams from the East or two teams from the West.
But just the two best teams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, can you imagine if...
Islanders-Rangers in the final.
Islanders-Rangers in the final. Yeah. L.A. Ducks in the final. God forbid, Leafs-Habs in the final.
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely incredible.
I think it would be incredible, too. Now, I know
that
there's...
happen.
Travel and, you know, building availability, all of that has to factor in. But I'm talking about you make it in the 16 spot and you just slide into the playoffs. Good luck. You're playing the best team in the league.
I agree with you. Well, look it out west. Minnesota would not have made the playoffs.
You're
Boston,
right.
I believe, would have been in.
That's the point, too, is it you wash all of the, okay, you squeaked in because your division was tighter. And then this division was looser and, you got into a wild card spot. I just think it's the 1-16 top point getters. That's it.
The only reason why I think they might be against that is they need teams in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. You need the Eastern Seaboard and East in terms of TV numbers. Where, I mean, it would be cyclical. There'd be times where you'd get 10 teams from the East and only 6 from the West. But when it goes, like if there was just some random weird year where 12 teams from the West got in and only 4 from the East, I think they'd freak, and NBC would freak, and Sportsnet would freak, because they'd be saying, what are we going to do here? We can't play every game at 10 o'clock.
I know.
These guys are going to have to play earlier, it's more difficult to promote that kind of stuff because there's so many people in the East.
I get that, but I think people that are just hockey fans, you work that. I mean, we just talked about it yesterday, the Raps playing at weird times, right? Because you're trying to fit in everyone. That's just... You want to make money, you want to have revenue. You're going to have to play a game at 5 o'clock.
Totally agree.
Out west,
and I honestly was thinking about that during the Preds Ducks game last night. I didn't watch a second of that game.
It was a good game.
Not 1 second, and I don't get the impression like anyone else did outside of those two markets. Because who was watching that over Blues Hawks game 7? Nobody. And in Toronto, I mean, from a selfish standpoint, when Blues Hawks were in a stoppage of play or intermission, I was watching the Blue Jay game. I wasn't going over to see Preds Ducks. And I thought about that last night. As much as people in Toronto are getting hit by this tonight because the Raptors are tipping off at 6 p.m.,
right.
If you want to be a league that is based on revenue, you've got to be a TV-friendly league. Everything you do has got to revolve around making it in the best interest for TV and your TV partners. And I look back on it last night. Clearly, they made a big mistake. That Ducks-Preds game should have started at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the other game should have started at 9 or something like that. You had to stagger the two.
Stagger them. I agree.
Because you had one game that got completely lost.
Yeah.
No one even paid attention to Preds-Ducks.
It was
could have been the greatest game of all time.
It was a
no
very
one paid
good
attention.
Game. I watched it, and I enjoyed it, but it
but you didn't watch it closely. You couldn't have. You were watching the other game.
The beauty of splits, like two giant screens sitting in front of you, you could just, I mean, I loved it.
But there's no way you were focused on it. There's no way you were focused on it. You couldn't be. You couldn't. You couldn't possibly be focused on it. We got to throw a shout out to John Gibbons here. It's team photo day down at the Dome, and this guy has the most aggressive leg spread.
Dude, he is riding a fat boy Harley in the team pick.
He's taking up three seats.
Yeah.
Because his hips don't close.
I didn't realize he was
like
a former
he just
catcher.
Cut the drag bunt.
But that's his that's his.
He's an old catcher.
That's his hips
his
right
gait,
there.
Man, it's a creaky gait. And he can't close it anymore.
That's probably why he walks so slow to the mound.
It's a thing of beauty. Lindy Ruff and John Gibbons, two of our favorites for that picture alone. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over the number, White Sox Jays tonight. R.A. Dickey's on the mound, and the Jays bats have come alive here.
It's awfully cold out.
Dickey better figure it out quick because the bullpen's not going to help them the way they're going. I can't believe I'm on Atlanta tonight. The Braves might be the worst team in baseball, and Price is on the mound for Boston, but he's been bad recently. He's probably due to really break out, but they're paying $255. I'll take it, and I'm on the Cubs tonight as well at home against the Brewers. Throw down $20, and you can score $112.80. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. We'll touch on Marcus Stroman and his mini meltdown in the dugout last night. We'll touch on that next.
Bradford National Anthem.
Oh, let this breathe. I just think of Billy Madison.
It's so perfect for Billy Madison.
He rolls up in that Firebird, or is it a Trans Am? I don't know which one. The T-roofs, and he just
he's got
steps
the leather
out.
Jacket on, and some girl walks right by him and just goes, ew, you're such a loser.
So awesome, though.
Yeah, but he takes down the teacher.
That's the thing. He does end up with Veronica Vaughn. Chris Farley, the hottest girl Chris Farley's ever seen is Veronica Vaughn.
Veronica Vaughn.
That Veronica Vaughn.
Is one
piece of
you know what.
That's a great movie, man. That's one of those movies, it's on all the time. And you have to watch.
Yeah, Norm Macdonald is a beauty in it, too. Like, that, his whole crew there. It's like Adam Sandler has a bunch of drinking buddies, and they just make a bunch of movies. Some of them work, some of them don't. They're a little Nicky.
Right.
Didn't really work.
Well, and what's the one he did where he plays his twin sister?
Oh, that one was terrible.
I saw that in theaters.
I went and saw that in the theater, too.
That might be the worst movie I've ever seen. Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Might be the worst movie ever created.
No, it isn't. No. There's one worse. Love Guru.
Oh, I'm a Mike Myers fan.
It is
I give
a
him the
hot,
pass.
Flaming pile of crap.
That ended his career,
dude,
essentially.
He went ninja dust.
Have you
after
seen
that.
What Mike Myers looks like now? He's like his hair's gray, which I mean, we're all getting older. But he doesn't even look like Mike Myers. In my mind, Mike Myers is either Austin Powers or Wayne's World. That's what he looks like. Now, I saw a picture of him the other day, and, you know, he's an aging veteran. I've always been a big fan of his. I've got a lot of time, and yes, you're right, the Guru didn't go very well, but those
it
Austin
was
Powers
so bad.
Were brilliant. So I Married an Axe Murderer is one of the best hidden gem movies.
Yeah, an all-time underrated movie. When right there with Nacho Libre. Nacho
Get
Libre
that
is so
corn cob out of my.
I love
snap.
It.
Jack Black is pretty funny. Talented
I love it. Jack
too.
Black. He was a guy originally I couldn't stand.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I stumbled across Nacho Libre and I watched that in its completion. I was howling the whole movie.
Get that corn out of my face!
It's just because it's blatantly an American guy.
Yeah.
Putting on the Spanish accent, but he's speaking English. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It is a very funny movie.
It's such a great movie. The stretchy pants, I love that movie.
Underrated movie.
Very underrated. All right, so Marcus Stroman was rolling last night. The Jays were, too. They were up 5-1, and he's out there for the seventh, and then all of a sudden, you know, he takes a comebacker off the arm. He walks a guy on four straight pitches. He leaves the bases loaded, and in comes Brett Cecil. And Cecil has been terrible so far this year, but he's notorious for slow starts. Last year he had a slow start as well, and he picked it up big time down the stretch. Anyone selling Cecil down the river right now, you've got to calm down. All right, it's 20 games. Yeah. You have to be patient. I know we're living in the moment right now. I believe in his talents. I believe he'll figure it out here. But he's having issues. He's really struggling. And he came in and he gave up runners. He gave up runs.
Yeah.
And then Gavin Floyd came in and he gave in more runs.
Didn't go well.
And Stroman was caught in the dugout after Cecil gave up a two-run single, I believe it was. Bit of a mini meltdown. And he slapped the chair and he was swearing a bit. And it looked as if he was basically showing up Brett Cecil.
I hate that.
And he came out afterwards and said, no, I wasn't showing up any of my teammates.
Yeah,
I
but he came with the old cliches, ask any of my teammates what I'm all about, they'll tell you. It looked selfish to me where he's like, I can't believe he just pissed that away. And I believe he left with the bases loaded.
He left them inheriting the bases loaded.
Yeah, so sorry he couldn't come in there and do wonders and get you out of a jam.
And he has been burned a couple times by the bullpen. But he has left the bases loaded for the bullpen multiple times this year.
Yeah.
And they couldn't close for him. But he came out and said, no, I was more angry about my own performance.
That's a crock, man.
The reason I have a tough time believing that is if you were angry with your own performance, you would have gone nuts walking off the field.
Exactly.
Not sitting there and then waiting for the runs to come in. Then you go nuts the way that you did. If you were really rattled at yourself, you would have walked down, you know, the alleyway there,
exactly.
You would have picked up a bat and launched it off a wall. You didn't. You sat there. You waited to see what was going to happen. Cecil couldn't cash in your chips, and you freaked out. And, yeah, he was talking about how his teammates know who he is. In reality, he's still basically a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a part of the big club for a couple of years now, but he came up late a couple of years ago. He missed almost all of last year. He still only started like 30, 32 games throughout his career. So
they don't know him.
You know, he's got to be careful with this kind of stuff.
I that's the thing. Like, you show up your teammates that are trying to bail you out enough times, like, you get that reputation. You're going to hear about somebody beating the hell out of him in the dressing room or doing something like that, or him just being like, okay, you be on your island. You want to be a hero? You do what you want to do. Like, yeah, I get it. You're a star player or a budding star. I don't think he's a superstar.
No,
but
he's a budding star.
He's the potential to be that. I hate that type of behavior because all you're doing is putting yourself on an island. Like, these guys are... Why are they going to want to go through a wall for you?
Well, and you're reacting the way a fan would react to Brett Cecil not getting the job done.
Right.
But as a fan, you don't have any personal relationship with Brett Cecil. Cecil knows he's struggling.
Yeah.
He knows he's having issues right now. And even if Stroman was reacting because he was really pissed at himself, and I don't really believe that, you're still going to lead people to believe or highlight the idea that you're accentuating what's going on with Brett Cecil. And Cecil's in a tough spot. The bullpen's in a tough spot. They're going to have to bail him out multiple times this year as well. And it's not a look that's necessary right now. And you don't need to put yourself in that position. I know he's an emotional guy.
Right.
And in large part, that's why people gravitate to him and like him. Because he shows his emotion. And he's an upbeat guy. And he's generally a positive guy.
Do you think it's an act, though? Do you think some of it's an act?
I don't know. I mean, he's not a big guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder because people have always doubted him.
That's fair.
Because generally starters are not 5'8". You know, so I understand where that mentality can help him and continue to push his career forward. But I don't know. I mean, can he keep this up his whole career? We'll see. Some guys can. Maybe that's what
he
has in store.
You can see this guy at 10 years from now acting like that. I think he'll mature.
He might. He might cool it down a little bit on both ends. Even when
he's
having success and pumping his fist and yelling into his glove.
Exactly.
We'll hit the Grit Grinder and Ray Ferraro coming up in about 15 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
All right, time now for the 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder, brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
I'll go with Newmarket's Brian Elliott from the St. Louis Blues. Yeah, you can pretty much throw the whole organization in there, top to bottom. Exercised the demons and got the job done.
Hitch.
Wow.
He's a grinder.
Ken Hitchcock is your grinder.
Stuck to the game plan. I mean, got that team to play really good D, turn the pucks over. And all the pressure he was under playing for his job, basically coaching for his job last night. Everyone's talking. I said yesterday on the show, play Tarasenko 23 minutes. Just let him, leave him out there. 14 and a half.
We'll discuss if he's still coaching for his job into the next round against Dallas. We'll touch
Certainly
on that in about 10 minutes. Troy Brouwer's my guy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Scores a monster goal against his former team.
Said if he didn't put it in, he would have quit hockey.
I love that comment.
Hits the post, and then he was hacking and whacking at that thing, man. And if Anisimov didn't quit on the play, he could have got to him.
Yeah.
The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-Ship construction and four-way flex technology.
U-Ship?
Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans are the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Ray Ferraro in about 10 minutes. Jack Armstrong live from the ACC ahead of Game 5 tonight. Raptors-Pacers. That's coming up in the next hour. This is Overdrive on the TSN Go app.